Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis in chapter 2. A couple different things that we're going to talk about in order to get where I'm going to end up here on this thing. I'm going to look at early recorded history here. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now I want to talk a little bit for a few minutes about that tree in the midst of the garden. The Bible here says it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's this knowledge of good and evil that God uses to determine the accountability for your soul. It's commonly referred to as the age of accountability. And according to Scripture, this determination is not based on a chronological age, but rather when someone reaches the mental maturity, when he or she is able to discern between good and evil. And I'm not going to stay here, but in passing, we're going to talk about this for a minute. In law, there's a rule called the McNaughton Rule. I was a juvenile probation officer, and we used the McNaughton Rule to determine culpability for a child. Whenever criminal culpability attaches, when a child reaches the age that they can be held accountable for something, well, God uses that same accountability standard. And it doesn't have to do with how old the kid is. It's where his maturity is. Does he understand good and evil? I think that age is getting older and older for a lot of kids. Now, it's not the knowledge between right and wrong. Good and evil is different than right and wrong. Three-year-old, I've told this before many times. A three-year-old, you can tell that child not to do something. Mom can, and that child will look mom right in the eye and go ahead and do it anyway. No, it's wrong. But it's not until an older age that child also begins to understand that disobeying mom is also a sin against God. So the knowledge of good and evil is different than the knowledge between right and wrong. If you look in Deuteronomy 1, 39, and we'll find a mention of this knowledge of good and evil. And the context here is the children of Israel, they're getting ready to enter into the promised land, which is a picture and type of heaven. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 39. It says, "Moreover, your little ones," I'm in Deuteronomy 1, 39, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children," watch it, "which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." Now, within that context, it appears that any child before they reach that age, or any person before they reach that age to know good and evil, they go directly to heaven when they die. That's a wonderful thought. It's wonderful to know that. And see, the children here are in the same state of innocence as Adam and Eve prior to partaking of the forbidden fruit. But what I want to look at this morning is Adam and Eve in the garden prior to partaking of the forbidden fruit. When God created this earth, he created it perfect. Everything in perfect unity and harmony, perfect balance, everything giving glory and pleasure to its creator. Mankind included. Now remember that Adam and Eve, prior to the fall, were in perfect fellowship and unity with God. My, what a place to be. What a place to be. And though even though Adam and Eve loved each other, their desire, it appears, before the fall was both to God. To bring him glory, to bring him pleasure, to commune with him, to walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. And they were created, as you and I are, for God's glory and His pleasure. Now here's what I want you to remember. Part of the curse upon Eve after she disobeyed God was that her desire was from that point forward to her husband. Isn't that what it said? Genesis 3:16. This is after the fall, part of the curse. God says unto the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, watch it, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That isn't the way it was originally intended. Most of you ladies already knew that, understood that. So I kind of get the inference from that, and there's a lot of different takes. I'm not trying to say that my take on this is the right one, but I think that when we get to glory, we're going to know one another. We're going to love one another like we loved one another here, but our desire changes. The curse is gone. Or now, then our desire will both be, even though I know my wife. Now, if I die before Joyce does, and then she dies, I'll be waiting on this side of the river, and she'll come across, and I'll say, what took you so long to get here? But our desires will not be to each other. Our desire will be then to God. Does that make sense? And the Bible don't say a lot about it, and a lot of different spins on it. It says that we shall, and the disciples were talking to the Lord about the guy that had seven wives, which one would be his wife in the resurrection. He said you don't understand the scriptures, for in the resurrection they will not marry nor be given in marriage, but shall be as the angels in heaven. Another place it says they shall be equal to the angels in heaven. Don't say a whole lot about that. But let me move on here. So then, If part of the curse was a woman's desire being to her husband, it would follow that prior to that, it wasn't. It was to God. Isaiah 26, verse 8 says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. We're going to be there to worship him, to glorify him. Our desire will be to him. So just as Eve's desire was to her husband, Adam, as part of the curse, now when the curse is lifted, it appears that both the desire of you and I as the bride of Christ will be to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. At pictured or typified, then our relationship to Jesus Christ will be as a bride whose desire will be to her husband. All right, all that being said, go back to the garden. When God finished his creation, he looked it over and he said, it is good. Another place, he said that it's very good. Now listen, prior to the fall, the only thing that Adam and Eve knew in the garden, the only thing they were exposed to was good. They didn't know evil. All they knew was good. Isn't that wild? Absolutely no knowledge of evil, isn't that right? Everything good and holy and pure and righteous and innocent, bringing glory and pleasure to God. All they knew, or all they needed to know in order to be in perfect fellowship with God, was goodness. Now, I'm sure many of you in here, some of you have homeschooled your kids, some will put your kid in a private or a Christian school. And I'm sure that many have received criticism saying, well, I think you ought to have your child exposed to all the diversity in the public school and all this and some social skills and all that. Scripturally, that's hogwash. Nowhere does it say that they need to know evil. Nowhere does it tell them to warm up to evil and wickedness. So don't try to put your views in the place of God's word. Psalms 101, verse 3, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The more you allow your kids to be around that wickedness and around that evil and around that craziness of ideas, the more the greater the chance of it cleaving to them. Wow, getting kind of quiet in here, Brother Phil. Hey, your kids are not just exposed to wickedness today. Not just exposed to it. Wickedness and evil are being promoted. It's being endorsed. Many public school environments and curriculum, I guess is the right word. Went to church here, he taught in school, and he said when he walks in the schoolhouses a few months ago, he said they have the Rainbow Coalition posters and all that stuff up. Well, I think it'll be good for my kid to know, but no, it won't. So don't be surprised when it rubs off. Hey, if your school curriculum endorses the normalization of the LGBTQ agenda, or if you're running with that crowd that says it's okay to rip an unborn baby out of the mother's womb, you've taken the devil's bait, hook, line, and sinker. Nothing good about any of that business. God calls it wickedness and abomination. As far as abortion, God says if two men struggle together that a woman lose her fruit and a mischief follow, the baby dies, said God will require life for life. That's what God says about it. Anyone's interested? Hey, normally I'm real sweet and warm and fuzzy, but I'm not today. I'm just warm and fuzzy is what I am today. All right. Hey, woe, Isaiah 55:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Don't take the bait, folks. Don't take the devil's bait. Eve did back in the garden. Paul said, wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God says to choose the good and refuse the evil. Rebuke the evil, disdain the evil, hate the evil, flee from evil. David said in Psalms 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Jesus, you know what Jesus taught his disciples? He said, many refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it was the disciples' prayer. He said, pray ye. He said, deliver. He asked his Father to deliver them from evil. He said, to pray, deliver us from evil. God wants to deliver you from evil. Job 34:4, let us know among ourselves what is good. You don't have to know evil. Adam and Eve were doing pretty good till they knew evil. The psalmist said in Psalms 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil. Man, I didn't know how to cuss till I was around other kids. I was about 10 years old. Me and my cousin, we was thinking every cuss word we knew. Everybody acts like, that never happened to me, it never to you, my. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Jesus said this, John 17:15, here's the Lord's Prayer. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. Wow. That's what the Lord said. Hey, the problem is that man's appetite for wickedness, once you get involved in that mess, it's never satisfied. The appetite is never satisfied. Wicked and evil and the human heart only proliferates. It men shall wax worse and worse. Proverbs 27:20, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. Your kids won't be satisfied with the PG-13 movies. They want to see the R-rated movies. And after they watch those a while, they won't be satisfied. They'll want to see the X-rated stuff and start to watch the porn stuff. Ecclesiastes 1:8 says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The fear of the Lord, it says in Psalms 8:13, is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. He said in the forward mouth, do I hate? Paul said, Philippians 4:18 said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, you need to think on these things. So does your children. Teach them the good and keep them away from the evil. Now God said that his creation, including man, was very good. Adam and Eve in perfect union with a holy God. Everything good and beautiful and pure and holy in that relationship. Created in the varied image of God. And then as soon as Eve disobeyed God, discovered that knowledge of good and evil, and things went downhill from that point, and she wasn't satisfied until she gave Adam to eat with her. That's what happens. Somebody gets caught in sin, they want people to join in with them. You know, a drunk hates to drink alone. You know, an addict hates to get high by themselves. They want somebody to come get high with them. My, my, my. But the moment that sin occurred, when they disobeyed God, God withdrew his spirit from Adam. He couldn't fellowship with that. He's holy and he's pure and he's righteous and he has no fellowship with the unrighteous. That's why the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But sin always wants to foster more sin. She gave to her husband and he did eat. The preacher would later declare in Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Now, here's been the problem for mankind ever since the day that Eve was seduced by the devil in the garden. Good and evil, if you look back, good and evil were on the same tree. Same tree. Well, I won't watch television. Well, there's good there and there's evil. I don't mess with the internet. You know what Facebook is? You have the knowledge of good and evil. The internet, the knowledge of good and evil. Problem is, man has a tendency to choose the evil instead of the good. And Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw the tree that it was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So then we have that tree that has not only good, but on the same tree we also found evil. And you know, God told them not to partake of that tree. Why do we think that we have to be exposed to evil? You don't have to expose your children to evil. They'll be exposed to enough with you trying hard to keep them from being exposed to it. No longer was mankind innocent before God, but we're now responsible to choose the good and refuse the evil. And prior to partaking of that forbidden fruit, Adam had the image of God. Let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God has a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. God has a soul, God the Father. God has a body, Jesus Christ, the visible image of the invisible God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But God withdrew His Spirit, and Adam died spiritually that day. Said, the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Well, his body didn't die. He lived another 800 years or so. His soul didn't die because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? His spirit died. No longer contained that image of God, that Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus was called the second Adam, the last Adam. Because from the time that Adam lost that image of God until Jesus Christ showed up, there was no image of God here on the earth. The first Adam was earthy, of the earth. The last Adam was a quickening spirit, Jesus Christ. So from that point on, Adam would simply follow the flesh because a spiritual image had left him. And we see through all the progenitors, all the human race that follow. See, the fruit of the Spirit was not available until the new birth came around. From Adam all the way forward through history, mankind, when faced with good and evil, they didn't have the spiritual discernment to follow the good, but many times chose the evil. And that's because through that sin of Adam, man lost that spiritual discernment. You know, your children today, before they get the new birth. Now, we read that verse in Deuteronomy 139. They're safe with God until they reach that age to know good and evil. But you know what they don't have? They don't have spiritual discernment. It's up to you, mom and dad, to make choices for them. Spiritual choices in their behalf. Well, I just kind of let him do what he wants. Yeah, that's right. At about age 14, he'll stand in your face with his fist in your face if you allow that child. The foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Well, pray, man, you're preaching an old-fashioned stuff. That's not politically correct. I hope not. All right. That's why the devil concentrates so hard on your kids. No spiritual discernment. If he can sneak up on them, he's got a better shot at them. Man, he can expel God from your children's school. If he can do that, if he can remove the Ten Commandments and the Word of God from the classroom, if the devil can convince your school children that wickedness and abomination are okay and normal, and that mom and dad is out of touch and old-fashioned and bigoted and intolerant, if he can convince them of that, he's accomplished his purpose. Hey, that's why Martin Luther warned that whenever the scriptures are not taught as being paramount in the public schools, said school become nothing more than a gateway to hell. I didn't say that. Martin Luther said that. And I'm not Lutheran. My. He was right. Anybody remember Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey, News and Comment. Anybody remember that? Almost 50 years ago, 49-something years ago, Paul Harvey said this on one of his broadcasts. I'm about done. Here's a transcript from Paul Harvey's broadcast almost 50 years ago. He said, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince him that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is okay, is square, the word he used. And the old I would teach to pray after me, "Our Father which art in Washington." And then I'd get organized and I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families that at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerized media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. He said that 50 years ago. Within a decade, I'd have the prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich? He said, I would get the whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work and patriotism and moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on the TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public and could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey, good day. He wrote that, said that, spoke that on a broadcast almost 50 years ago. He wasn't a prophet, but he sure discerned the times. America is waxing worse and worse. We've accepted things that just a generation ago would not have been accepted, would not have been tolerated, would have put a blush on every Christian's face. Look out. Look out. If you don't insist that your children, keep your children away from the, as much as you can, from the evil and from wickedness, it's going to rub off. It'll cleave to them like that verse said. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Everyone stand up. I'm done. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, then you don't have a spiritual discernment either, because it takes the new birth. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. The Bible says we're all a mess. We're born a mess. There's none righteous, no, not good. No, not one. There's none good. There's none that seeketh after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, there's a penalty that God requires. He's holy. As he withdrew his spirit from Adam, he has no place in this body of flesh for his spirit, except a man be born again. Say, well, how do I get born again? By stepping out by faith and trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He'll give you back that spiritual identity, that spiritual discernment. You identify with the body of Christ. Won't you come? If there's a burden on your heart this morning, won't you? Maybe there's something you need to pray about. I didn't mean to be a mean preacher today. Sometimes you just got to preach what God puts on your heart all the time. What God puts on your heart to preach. As we sing this.